Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, and this is Serving Up Diversity, and I'm your host, Cecile B. Real. We've got a great title and a great show today, and are you ready for this title, everyone? What Women Can Learn from Groundhog Day. As you may know, this is Groundhog Day, and it was brought into the United States back in the early 1800s by the Germans who settled in Pennsylvania. And so February 2nd has also marked an important date for farmers who celebrated Candlemas Day. And that was where it was the midpoint of winter for them. And farmers had used it to determine whether they would have enough crops to feed their stock before winter was over. And if you listen to the news today, you know whether the groundhog is coming out seeing a shadow or whether not seeing a shadow and going back in. Well, luckily, I think for all of us, he saw the shadow. And so it's going to be another 6 weeks of winter. And it's ironic, really, today that we're going to be talking on Groundhog Day with our guest, whom I'm going to introduce in just a moment. So maybe we should be asking the question ourselves, are we going back into hibernation in our jobs based on what we do, or is spring around the corner? And we can play this analogy out as it relates to how we react in our own careers these days. So even though you have the option to go back in and hibernate, are you really going to do that around your careers? Our guest today is Kathy Francis, and she's president of an organization called Caracol Communications, and she's an entrepreneur, and her career has been guided by her uncompromising quest to provide her employers and clients with open-minded leadership and flexibility while providing simple, effective solutions to human resources and management issues. And she credits her success to her ability to think strategically and to translate strategic plans into tactical actions that lead to business success. She has a master's degree in human resources development and earned a professional accreditation as an SPHR, Single Professional Human Resources. So welcome, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
It's
good morning
wonderful.
To you.
Thank you. And we're here in California, so it's still morning.
That's right.
And it's great to have you here. So it's interesting at looking at how we could kind of be like the groundhog in our careers. And so what do you mean when you say that there's an analogy between Groundhog Day and us in today's world?
Well, it's really important for us to recognize some of these characteristics that, I mean, let's face it, we all take on animal characteristics from time to time because we are animals too, right? We're just human beings.
Yes.
But one way to look at it is to look at those in management roles today. Managers sometimes may look at a situation around them, and instead of addressing it head on, they may choose to take no action at all, but rather sit back and wait to see if it'll resolve itself without them having to step in and do anything. You know, kind of like the groundhog turning around and going back into his burrow. It's like, if I don't do anything with it now, maybe it'll just go away, right? So
mm-hmm.
In other words, it's like, you know, let's just, you know, if I won't face it now, maybe it'll just resolve itself and I won't have to do anything about it. So the groundhog, you know, stays out of his burrow, for instance, if he didn't see a shadow today and he stayed out and decided, okay, spring is right around the corner and I'm going to begin now to forage and prepare for springtime. And so I'm going to, address it head on and go from there. Managers frequently don't address things head on. they'd rather wait and see if it'll work its way out because they're not really sure exactly what to do about it. But another way to look about at it, is, or another perspective, is to consider the dynamics that are going on in workplaces today. I mean, think about it. For the first time in recorded history, we're dealing with five generations working together in the workplace. The diversity of those generations is very broad and broader than ever before. It's that multicultural differences and not religion that are more prevalent in today's workplaces. So we can't ignore that. If we do, it's like putting our head in the sand and just hoping that things are going to turn out okay and hoping that people will resolve whatever conflicts or issues are going on and it'll just be okay. So again, like the groundhog running back into the burrows and waiting till spring arrives, it's like hoping that it'll just work out. If I just do nothing, it'll be okay eventually. So again, the groundhog going back into his burrow, knowing that in 6 weeks he can come out and spring will be here, so he doesn't have to do anything. But in management, we can't do that.
No, but you're right. A lot of people do. And, you know, when you talk about the groundhog and going out, kind of sticking his head back in, it reminds me of the people sometimes use an analogy of the ostrich. You
yes.
know, the ostrich will go and put his head in the sand. And if your head's in the sand, guess what's up in the air? And it's a bigger target.
That's right.
You know, the other part
That's
of the anatomy.
True.
And but what people often don't realize is that the ostrich is not hiding. He's actually looking for food.
Right.
But
yet when
otherwise,
we see him from afar, I mean, when you think about
yes.
employees looking at a manager, thinking from afar, it's like he's not doing anything about it. All they see
exactly.
is, you know, head down, butt up, doing absolutely nothing. They see the boss sitting in their office doing absolutely nothing. It's kind of like, well, this whole, remember the Scarlett O'Hara. Right? It's like,
yes.
I'm not going to think about it now. I'll think about it tomorrow. It's like, I'm not going to deal with it now. I'll deal with it tomorrow if it's still going on. And unfortunately,
right.
that's something that we see a lot of and something that we need to, as women, recognize it's going on around us and know that we don't have to act that way. We can, in fact, take a different stance, right?
I would like to believe that's true. And sometimes we forget about that because you know, and I don't want to make an analogy between men and women because both men and women sometimes let it go by. They don't want to deal with it. And then you look at the employee who doesn't want to deal with some things either. So it's kind of like everybody could be hiding into the in that burrow.
Right. We're all groundhogs in one way or another. Or we can be, and probably from time to time actually take that stance without even realizing in the moment that that's what we're doing.
So what can we do? I mean, what should we do? And how does this in our topic basic relate to, say, we're looking at women right now because it's Women Leading the Way Radio. So what are some things that women, we as women can do to be more willing to take a stance or to help or to address these issues?
Well, I was thinking about this when you and I first were chatting about this before, and I'd like for folks to kind of consider it this way. Women leaders are typically more open to addressing issues, not all, but typically, right, so that doesn't mean that they're
right.
all that way, but most, to addressing issues on their teams than men are, and that's because we, in general, are more relational than our male counterparts. Now, it's not about a we versus they kind of thing, but it's about our natural abilities, right?
Right.
When you think about it, it wasn't that long ago that tradition was that women stayed home, right? We raised the kids while the men went off to work. And, you know, there were a few women in the workplace, but it wasn't prevalent. Because
Correct.
That at home, we were the peacekeepers. But we really entered the workforce in big numbers when war broke out. You remember World War I? Not that we were there, right? But World War I, World War II,
no.
Korean Wars. You know, men, it was all the draft, so men went off to war, and so employers basically had to bring women into the workplace because they had to get the work done and the men were gone. So large numbers of women went into the workplace. But even after the men returned to take back those jobs, many women determined that they liked working. I mean, think about the extra money it brought to the home, the things that they learned while on the job, and they got what they got to do outside of the home. So many decided they didn't want to just be in the home, but rather working outside of the home as well. I mean, so we managed our budgets at home. Why can't we manage budgets at work, right?
Right.
We know as women, multitasking is always a way of life. I mean, I can remember the days, many of us can relate to this, you know, baby on one hip, trying to hold a bottle in my mouth while I'm talking on the phone and I'm cooking at the stove. I mean, as you're trying to, again, you've got three, it's almost like I had an extra pair of hands there just trying to get all this stuff done. But, you know, juggling is in our DNA. That's
yes,
what we're all
is.
About. So
yeah,
when you translate.
And you know what? Oh, just to interrupt you for a second. Yeah. You know, and after they got through handling all that inside of the baby, then they took the baby outside and hung the clothes on the clothesline.
Right.
And kind of folded them in between. So, I mean,
yeah.
it was known as they were multitaskers from
oh,
the
yeah.
very beginning.
I have a colleague that I used to work with. She's passed now, but she tells the story of how she was hanging clothes up on the line while the baby was playing in a laundry basket a few feet away from her, and she saw a mountain lion come out of the woods near the house and heading straight towards the baby. So she carefully walks over to the edge of the porch, grabs the gun, and kills the mountain lion before it got to her baby. And they ended up eating that mountain lion, the meat from that mountain lion, for several days. So she was able to feed her family from that. So
mm-hmm.
this woman was a crackpot shot, on top of also being able, you know, to take care of her home. But we did what we had to do to survive, right?
Yes. Yeah. It gives multitasking a whole new meaning.
You betcha. It's like the gun on the hip, right? Climate
You're
change, right?
Right?
So let's translate the past, you know, to today and then all this diversity that we have in our workplace. And you find that in management, we're dealing with all the various personalities and the types and communication styles are all interacting today at once. And inevitably,
mm-hmm.
conflict's going to happen, right?
Yes.
Teams aren't always working together in cohesive manners, as they should. We wish they would, but they don't. So when we take no action, that means, from our company's perspective, that means lost productivity, which means lost revenue. And you've got a work environment in which people aren't happy. Management needs to intervene in order to bring those teams back to a productive state. They just can't ignore it and hope that it's going to get better on its own. They can't go back into their burrow and pretend that it'll just work itself out. But yet, that's what frequently happens, isn't it? Haven't you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, that often happens. And, you know, I have to admit, on occasion, I've chosen, as a consultant to companies, typically, you know, and you know this too as a consultant, is we go in to help resolve issues. And sometimes it's really tough to take that next step toward doing that, because, you know, it will help the organization, but sometimes it doesn't help us.
That's true. Very true.
And so it's really important that we say, okay, this is not about me, allaboutme.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about helping this company to be able to create whatever it is we're helping them create, or to handle whatever situations. Because really at that point, when we go into these companies, as you know, Kathy, we're the consultants, we're the coaches, you know, we're the ones who are going to help them, because it's not our, you know, company, but it's up to us to give them information so that they can do what we're talking about today, be leaders.
Right. In fact, sometimes it's a matter of actually pointing out to them that this is, in fact, the behavior they're doing. They don't even know they're doing it.
That's true. You're absolutely right. You know, and then some kind of know that they're doing it and hate to admit it. But then that's where we come in and help them make some decisions so it'll be a lot easier for them.
True.
And I was going to ask you another question is, you know, for not only addressing all this, but we as women, you know, we are relationship oriented. And can you do a little more, expound a little bit more about that, as we as women are relationship versus men? It's a different thing. And it's important that we know how to develop these relationships, not only with the female leaders and employees, but also the male leaders and employees.
Well, I think what we want to do is remember that whether we, some of the folks out there listening, whether you're in management now or not, we as women have innate abilities that are part of our DNA that we need to recognize that we have those and then foster and groom them in order to make a difference in the workplace. We don't have to be in a management role to make a difference. So rather than take the stance that you haven't had any formal training in dealing with conflicts, as an example, or dealing with diversity, recognize that the abilities and talents that you bring to the table and recognize the opportunities where you might be able to demonstrate these talents. That's what the thing is that's so important. It's like rather than take the position that it's not your job and so you don't want to get involved, you don't want to step it up to help ensure that the team is working together collaboratively, instead, and that's that whole going back into the borough stuff, right, pretending it's somebody else's issue, you want to step up and step out to help bring the team together. That's where natural leaders are kind of born. And we have that natural ability from a relational perspective in order for us to be able to contribute when, in fact, conflicts arise or take place where teams aren't working together collaboratively. So we don't want to hibernate as a groundhog would do. We don't want to run back into our burrows. We want to see what's going on, stay out in the sun, see what's happening out there, and take a moment to see where our own innate abilities, what comes to us naturally and what we've picked up, whether it be from classroom settings, from college settings, from the home settings, take all of those experiences that we've gained personally and use those, the fact that we can be the peacekeepers, the fact that we can be people who can calm down either hurt feelings or angry feelings. And we are the ones that are big on compromise, right? Resolving conflicts between the kids, resolving conflicts between neighbors, resolving conflicts with spouses and significant others. We do all that stuff, right?
Yep.
So as spring, you know, think about it this way. As spring arises, whether regardless of what we are doing, we need to seize that opportunity and we need to shine. Let those natural skills of peacemaking and conflict resolution become apparent to those around you. Those are basic skills that are vital to management. And, in fact, many times management members are picked based on their technical skills of actually doing something and not on their people skills, which is why frequently they are not successful in those roles is as a result of that. What we want to do is take that natural tendency for people management and people interactions, and let's face it, we can bring that to the table without even going to classes to do that. Use what comes naturally to you, right? You let your teammates know that you can be seen as a natural leader. And we don't need bosses to give us titles before we do that.
That's true. And the other aspect of that, and what you're saying is exactly correct, so much of the time we need to get out of our inner selves and say, oh, I probably shouldn't do this or I probably shouldn't do that. And we've all done it, whether we admit it or not.
True.
Where we think, oh, maybe I shouldn't, and it is the boss, and the boss is a male, or it's, you know, sitting in a board meeting or sitting in a meeting where you're maybe the only female there. And often, you know, it's an HR person who is the female there and listening to everybody around the table and sometimes not being willing to express your honest side. You know, if you don't agree with it, it's okay to say, you know, I hear what you guys are all saying, but I have a different take on this, or I don't accept what you're saying. I mean, you have to be willing to put your foot in the water, even if it's cold, you know, sometimes to get them to know you have ideas and you are willing to present them, because you hear men often, they argue back and forth. And sometimes we don't want to argue with them or contribute. I'll take away the word argue. I'll say contribute to them what is going on in the setting. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, when you think about it this way, they're used to it's all about the fight, right? It's all about the winning of the game. It's about winning the next award, winning the next sale, being on top.
Or the next battle.
Exactly. So they come from that stance, when you're in that kind of scenario, it's not about making sure everybody's happy and making sure that everybody's working together collaboratively. In fact, in many cases, they come from a stance of I want to be number one over the rest of my guys. Think of sales teams, right, where you want to be the number one sales guy, and you're not really anxious to work or help with your fellow sales team members, because you want to be the one that's going to get the highest commission, the biggest bonus, get to the go to the President's Award, so you get to go that fancy trip or whatever it might happen to be, right?
Right.
So it's their DNA is such that they're supposed to go out there and hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're supposed to be aggressive. And aggressiveness
yes.
works in certain situations, but when it comes to bringing teams together inside the organization, in order for them to work towards a common goal or mission or objective so the company can be successful, then you can't be aggressive with each other, yet that's frequently what we see, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
And that's where we can actually bring that relational aspect to the table and bring commonality to the whole group by recognizing mm-hmm. the differences in everybody, recognizing the generational differences, the diversity differences, and the fact that people are different in general,
yes.
the way they communicate, the way their personalities, et cetera. And so if we recognize all those things, we can bring common ground to the table, but we have to speak up to do it.
Yes, and we have to understand you mentioned generations. We've got to understand each generation, you know, from the Y all the way up to the oldest people in an organization, and look at where they're coming from. And, you know, we talk a lot about Generation Y, and they're more than willing to tell you what they think.
Right.
And how they would do it better than their counterparts. And today we have more multi-races in the organization. And I remember once someone said, well, what do you call these multi-race people? And I said, well, they have names.
Right.
And so,
George.
Yeah, and George. Yeah. and he also said, well, but how do you get them into the workplace so they're acceptable? I think he was more concerned about being acceptable to him, not to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are issues that go on in the workplace. And a lot of it, Kathy, I think we need to really treat people with not only dignity and understanding, but if there's an issue, then let's talk about it and work on getting it resolved. And, you know, there are a lot of major personalities out there that are willing to say anything and everything and take charge, as you were kind of alluding to. But then we need to be willing to speak up in our own ways.
True. And that's really it, is recognizing that it doesn't have to be because the boss gave you permission, and it doesn't have to be because you have a title, for whether it be a team leader or supervisor or manager, et cetera. We need to recognize that those innate abilities are there and use them regardless of the role that you have to then show and demonstrate this is what you're capable of and put yourself out there. Don't go back into the burrow, but literally stay out there and allow yourself to shine and let your talents come through. And it doesn't take education, although education certainly is beneficial, but you don't have to wait until you've had that formal class in order for you to be able to show and demonstrate what you too can do and contribute towards the company's goals and objectives.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, at some point it's okay if you need to go back into the burrow, but not to burrow yourselves, but to do your planning. And then once you've got your plans together and what steps you're going to take, then you can go back out into the cool weather until spring comes.
Right. It really is all about making sure that you don't keep yourself secluded like the wallflower on the wall who doesn't say anything and just, I'm here to do my job and I'm doing nothing more than that unless they tell me to. It's like, don't wait to be told. People
yeah.
need to, especially if they have aspirations in any way about being successful with their careers, then they need to look for opportunities to step forward and to shine and let their natural talents come to light, their abilities to be relational, the abilities to work collaboratively with others on the team, to be the peacekeepers, to be the conflict resolvers, the
mm-hmm.
problem solvers. Isn't that what we do, those things, without even thinking about the fact that we're doing them, because we don't put labels on them, because we're not about
labels. That's
true. It's not about
right.
labels. It's all about team, and it's about collaboration, and it's working together with a common goal. whatever that goal is. It's the common goal of raising children to be successful adults, the common goal of being successful on our team so we make our quality numbers, or the common goal for the revenue goal projection for the company. It doesn't matter what it is, just bringing people together with some sort of commonality so that they feel like they're a part of something, because it's all about community.
Yes, it is. And acknowledging your successes and letting others know about your successes rather than saying, oh, I don't want to brag or I don't want them to think this. Let them know when you are successful and perhaps even how you became successful in whatever it else you were doing. Is there anything else?
I'm going to say, is there anything else? Because we're... Yeah, I know we're coming up close here. It's like it's not really bragging, though, if it's true. It's bragging if, in fact, you're trying to expand upon or, like, the size of the fish you caught was this big, right? And the hands go for it. It's that. It's when you're talking about something that you've actually done, that's the difference.
It is. And so, Kathy, if someone would like to contact you, would you give them your phone number? Or if you prefer just your email address, would you share that with the people today?
Sure. They can contact me at cfrancis, that's C-F-R-A-N-C-I-S, 113@gmail.com. And I'm happy to answer any questions and to elaborate further with folks if they have something that they'd like to chat about.
Well, this has been great. And it always seems that time goes by very fast. And one of the things for those of you who are listening in, I just want to let you know that you can tune in every Monday because we have different shows on every Monday. I'm the first Monday of the month, but we have a second, third, fourth. And so please join in and look onto the website of Connected Women of Influence, Women Leading the Way Radio. Thank you, Kathy, for being a part of this. I really appreciate it. And all of you have a wonderful week, and may things go well.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.